The Bible reading is from Luke, and it's about Jesus being born. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting it must be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "Oh, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is 6 months. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard her greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she claimed, "Blessed are you, young women." Oh, sorry, I read that wrong. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is he who has believed that what the Lord said to her will be accomplished." Then Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud, and in their innermost thoughts he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. As he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. You're here for yourselves. You're here to offer yourself to the Lord, just as I am. That's our main reason for being here, isn't it? To offer ourselves to the Lord. We don't always know. In fact, quite often, I don't know what it is that God wants of me. Sometimes we go through periods in our life where we haven't the slightest idea what God wants from us or of us. Does he want us to change? Does he want us to carry on the same? And sometimes in our lives, something extraordinary happens. Not because we are extraordinary people, but because with the ordinariness of us, God does something extraordinary. But unless we recognize and welcome that possibility that he can do things with us that we never dreamt of, we won't do them. What a terrible loss. I remember going out in 1950, it might have been 3, it might have been 6, I can't tell you exactly. I was about 11. And I went with my mum, who was one of the people in our church in Peckham in South London, that Sylvie will know. And we too went to a Billy Graham crusade at the White City. I think when I was 8, having heard the good news about Jesus many, many times, told me at Sunday school, and at least 3 times on a Sunday, in the morning at church, in the afternoon at Sunday school, and in the evening for an evening service. But it took until I was 8 before one night in bed I said, "Lord Jesus, I want you inside me. I want you in my heart." Joe up at Generations, the leader of Generations Church, said that I think when she was 4. So it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you feel. The important thing is to actually let him in. You remember the Holman Hunt picture in St. Paul's? The light of the world knocking on the door. And so that happened when I was 8, but when I was 11, we went to the Billy Graham meeting. Thousands of people there. And at the end of the meeting, he issued a challenge, an offer. If you want to know Jesus, come out on the grass and show that you do. And for some reason, I thought it was, if you know Jesus, come out on the grass to show people that you're not ashamed of him. So off I went. And somebody came up to me with bits of paper to read and a little form. And I thought, what is this? I didn't come for this. I came just to show that I believed in Jesus. And it was a follow-up. And I had to take it home and put my name down and that sort of thing, you know. And you know, it quite worried me. I'm not sure why, but I just had the wrong idea. I'd already asked Jesus into my life. I remember when I was 7, asking my mum outside our house in Upland Road in Dulwich, "Mum, will I definitely go to heaven?" It's a good thing for a 7-year-old to ask, because you never know when you're going to go do you? And she said, yes, of course you will, dear. Don't ask questions like that. But I thought later, it's a very reasonable question to ask, actually. And it's a very reasonable question to ask for everybody. Because you only die once, don't you? At least on earth. And I wanted to know that I was in God's camp, not on the outside. But it really took me a long time to understand what asking Jesus into your life meant. You know what Gabriel said to Mary. I guess everybody in here knows it by heart and could tell anybody else. Is that right? What Gabriel said to Mary? It doesn't have to be word by word. It's just the meaning, the news. But we can't start when Gabriel came to Mary. We've got to start the story before that. Gabriel had already been somewhere else. Can you remember where that was from the reading? He'd been to a town in the hill country of Judea to see a priest called Zechariah. Zechariah, the priest, was working in the temple. He'd given his life over to the service of God by being a priest. Other people I know have given their life over to the service of God in being a policeman or woman. Others being a driver of agricultural vehicles. They've given their lives over to serving God in a particular way, not knowing how he was going to use them. Do you think I'm talking nonsense? Your life is your life. Mine is mine. And whatever we do, we can hand over to God so that he can use us where we are. That's one of the biggest messages that I can learn. Wherever I am, God can use me. And quite often, he doesn't want to use me in the place I think I'm happiest in. I remember in Lacey Garden School, something happened. A head teacher came to see me. Oh, this is when I was teaching, by the way, not when I was a little boy. And I'd already said to the people at Generations where I was then, I tell you what I'm never going to do again, and that's take a year six class when I'm doing supply teaching. I am totally fed up with year six children. They think they know it all. They're rude. This was at a time when I arrived at Mablethorpe School, and the first thing that hit me as I went into the year six was a condom. A physical, yeah? And I thought, this is going to be a day. But I prayed on the top of the bus as I was going there. And I prayed that God would be with me, whatever the circumstances. And you know, I felt like I floated through that day. It was like floating above all the problems and sometimes intervening, as you have to. But God wanted me there. I knew He would. And I knew whatever happened during that day, He was with me. I thank Him for that knowledge. The angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and told him that his old wife, and she was, in fact, Gabriel said to Mary later, she's too old to have a child, but she is 6 months pregnant. Oh. Abraham and Sarah. Another story, just the same. Sarah's too old. What is impossible with mankind is possible with God. It's as simple as that. And Zechariah questioned this message. He said, how am I supposed to know that this is going to really happen? Gabriel got a bit umpty. I'm Gabriel, he said. I stand in the presence of God Almighty. And because you haven't believed what I've told you, you're going to be dumb. You won't be able to speak until the child John, who became John the Baptist, until that child is born. And he couldn't. And when John was born, he could. And he wrote down, when he was still not able to talk, his name is John. Because he came to the conclusion that this really was God working. And that the child who would be born would be full of God. When we say full of the Spirit, I think we sometimes diminish that. The Holy Spirit is God. That wonderful promise that Jesus made. It's all right, we are going to get back to Mary. That wonderful promise that Jesus made in the prayer that he prayed before they got into the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember? May they all be one. May all the believers be one. I in them, Jesus in us. And you, Father, in me. And a few weeks ago, I brought to our attention that that meant that if we believe in Jesus, God the Father is in us. Through Jesus. Wow. God the Father. In us. We seem to lose the wonder. Okay, I seem to lose the wonder sometimes. Of that promise. There's nothing more wonderful could be that we as ordinary human beings could have the Father of all which is good, all creation, all love inside us, in our spirit. That's enough to blow your mind. Now, when Mary had that visitation from Gabriel that Sylvia read for us, she got a terrific confirmation. To start with, she was very, very worried. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I can't give birth to a child without being married, because that was the rule of society. You didn't have sexual relations outside marriage. If you did, you knew it was against God's rules. Very simple. So I can't have a baby. Don't worry about it, says the angel. Because the child you will have will be from God. And therefore, he will be God's son. I don't know how it felt for Mary to think to herself, God's son. Did she think, not my son? Not my child. God's child. But it's a bit frightening, isn't it? We're sat here thinking about this, but it's not just a story. We're sat here thinking about something which has caused us to be here, sat where you are, singing songs about the subject. So hopefully it's true. In you. It's alive in you. Could there be anything more important than knowing that God is working in you? And that is what was promised to Mary. How did you feel? Well, if it was me, I'd have fell on the floor. I've been petrified. I don't think I could take it in. Gabriel didn't suggest how she might tell Joseph, by the way, did she? I wonder if she thought, as Gabriel was speaking to her, what am I going to tell Joseph? If she was an ordinary person, I'm sure that went across her mind somewhere. And she had no idea. Were Mary and Joseph already betrothed? Promised to one another? Yes. In Matthew's account, Joseph's story has an earring, not in Luke. It just tells us that Joseph was a descendant of David. Caesar had ordered a census, so off he went to Bethlehem with Mary, his wife promised to him, who was pregnant. That's all. But in Luke, it's a lot more complex. In Matthew, we're reminded that Mary was married, a sort of halfway, wasn't it, Jonathan? It was a betrothal was so, so important. People break off their engagements. I have broken off an engagement in my life because I realized very definitely that this person I couldn't live with. and nor could my boys. A terrible thing to have to do. Because you know you're going to hurt somebody if you break off a relationship like that. It's not fun. So I wonder what Mary thought that Joseph would say and do. Imagine Mary's neighbours and family. Who does she think she is? She's been sleeping around. This would be about after 12 or so weeks, when she was obviously starting to get pregnant. Oh dear. Well, I don't know that we should just leave it like this. I think we should do something about it. Do you remember the story about the religious leaders coming to Jesus when he was on his ministry and saying, "This woman has been caught in the act of adultery"? What did they suggest? Stoning. And in case you've not actually heard about stoning, it's throwing the biggest pieces of rock at someone that you can find. Jesus questioned their position with God, the ones who were accusing her. And it all fell through, because none of them would say, "I've never sinned." But neighbours and family would be very, very upset if she really was going to have a baby and not continue the relationship with Joseph. From what we know and from what we infer about Mary, she was a very normal girl, an ordinary young lady. And as Jonathan told us, it's most likely that she was a middle to young teenager. Remember, you have a bar mitzvah at the age of 12, and you're then an adult. She was already promised in marriage to a carpenter in the small town of Nazareth. And this was quite a distance from where they were going to be going. It was quite a distance from Zechariah and Elizabeth's house too, in the hill country of Judea, about 65 to 70 miles, and no motorways. Can you imagine the roads? Both Joseph and Mary were descendants of David, the king. And it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born through David's line, wasn't it? Remember Ruth and Boaz? Just a few weeks ago, we were looking at them. And Jesse, and then David. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, reminds us of a prophecy that came at the time that there was a war in Israel. A war between the people outside Judah, other tribes, and the people living in Judah, and specifically Jerusalem. They were trying to kill one another. But King Ahaz was given a promise by Isaiah. God will see you all right. They won't overcome you. And he said to Ahaz, the Lord has said, ask him for a sign. In anything at all. In the skies, in the earth, in the sea, any sort of sign. No, said Ahaz. I won't test the Lord. Isaiah told him he was very wrong not to do as God required. And one of the things Isaiah prophesied and wrote down for us was about a virgin conceiving, becoming pregnant and having a child. And as with many prophecies in the Old Testament, it was more than one thing that he was prophesying about. It might have been something to do with the wars that was happening at the time. But very much more than that, it was referring to a young woman at some stage in the future, which would be about 800 years, having a child whose name would be Emmanuel. God is with us. I would love to have been with those two disciples who were on the way to Emmaus. Do you remember? After Jesus had been crucified, had come back to life, people had seen him, and they were on their way to Emmaus. And they were talking about what had happened. And Jesus suddenly catches up with them, and they don't know it's Jesus. And he asks them, what were they talking about? And they tell him about this Jesus that they believed in and trusted in, that he would save Israel. And he'd been crucified. Yeah, and some people had said they'd seen him come back to life. And Jesus, what did he do? He went through the scriptures. He must have looked at Isaiah. He must have looked at Micah. And back to Abraham, at least. Because the prophecies about Jesus coming go way back, 1,000 years before Isaiah wrote. What was Abraham doing with his son Isaac? Walking up into the mountains? We got the fire, Dad. Where's the lamb? That was me, said Jesus. That was a picture of me. The Father has sacrificed his Son for us. We're told about Joseph's concern. And then his dream, where the angel again says, Joseph, it's okay. Don't worry. Take Mary as your wife, because the baby that's growing inside her is by the Holy Spirit. It's all right. You can have her as your wife. God will bless this. It seems that most Jews had been taught that the Messiah was coming just for Israel, not for all people on earth. I believe that just like Mary, who became the earthly mother of God, that person through whom God would come into the world. Just this, the way that carefully and quietly he came into this sin-blighted world, just the same as Mary said, let it be as the Lord wants. We can say the same. Because if we can't apply this, such an important thing in God's eyes, if we can't apply, then God can't use us. We can make ourselves available to our Father to do his work on earth. This is the biggest thing that I can find in the story of Mary and what she was willing to do. A very ordinary person with no particular gifts that we're told about. But this one thing, God was able to make her extraordinary. And you and I can do exactly the same. We mustn't think that our lives are any less important to God than Mary's was. Wherever you are in your life, and I'm talking to myself just as much as anybody here, wherever you are in your life, God wants you desperately to open yourselves to his word, that he will show you what he wants you to be doing. There is no doubt in my mind about this. It can go right up to the time that you're in a care home and waiting to go to him. My dad died of motor neurone disease in 95. One of the last things he said to me in the care home on High Home Road, near where I lived, was that one of the carers had come in that morning, and by this time he couldn't swallow. And she asked him how he was. Was he feeling all right? Well, he wasn't, of course. But he said, I said to her, you need Jesus in your life. Because he knew that without God in our lives, we cannot do what he wants. And however many we come to a Sunday service or do stuff that we think Christians should do, whatever it is, if we haven't actually asked him to show us, then we ain't necessarily going to be living the life he wants. And that is all that matters. Am I living how God wants me to live? In the place he wants me to be? I hope and I indeed know for certain that there are people here who recognise that God has already turned up in their life. Maybe recently. And directed them like a film producer. I remember when I used to do amateur dramatics in London. My director, who was a professional, retired, he said, I do love working with you because you do anything I tell you. And I thought, oh, that's lovely. And I so enjoyed playing all sorts of characters. One of them was Alfie. Those of you of a certain age will remember Alfie. And we did Shakespeare's and all sorts of things, but I loved every minute of it. And it's lovely to have a director say, yeah, it's good, keep going. And we can hear God say that if only we've allowed him to direct us. But what was God expecting of Mary? She shows that she knows something extraordinary is up, because in her prophecy of praise that we call the Magnificat, that she spoke out when Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, had said, when you came in the door, the baby inside my womb jumped. What have I done to deserve the mother of my Lord coming to visit me? How wonderful is that? Mary knew that this was extraordinary, something of eternal significance. She was ready to walk in the way that God had prepared for her. I am the Lord's servant, she said. May it happen to me as you have said. And the angel had said, your cousin Elizabeth, who is too old to have a child, is now 6 months pregnant. So off she rushed. I don't think she said anything to her family. She went, it says. She hurried off to the hill country in Judea to see her cousin. What a fantastic confirmation of what the angel Gabriel had said to her. If he can do it for Elizabeth, then yeah, sure. Let God work through me. I hope that this example of Mary being willing to open herself to what God really wanted her to do is something that we can take away. Because if we do, it could make all the difference to our life. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Amen.